Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, composer and producer David Raiklin.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guests, Brian Pizzone and Marina Manoukian. I am Mark Lejeune, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Wow, this is a great show because many reasons, but I get to be with friends. It seems like everybody we get to connect to, we become friends with. But when you're already friends and then they come into the studio, it's just that much more fun. And it's interesting because some of you know I took a little bit of time off, you might have seen on Facebook, and it was partly a work experience and a play experience. And as far as I'm concerned, from now on, work and play should all be one thing. But it was very much centered around music. So I took 3 days to go see three shows. And here are the shows and here are the reasons. Well, the Backstreet Boys, one of my friends managed the Backstreet Boys. And so I got to see them in Vegas. I got invited backstage to meet them. And so that was a cool experience. And then that was on Wednesday night. Thursday night, I got to see the Bronx Wanderers. And we'll talk a little bit about them. I mean, they're a brand new band that actually has been around for many years from back east. And they've just hit Las Vegas about three or so months ago, and they've been playing nonstop, and they're starting to sell out, and it's starting to get really exciting in their career, and I very, very much enjoyed their show, and I'd recommend their show as well. And then on Friday, I got to see my friend Alfio perform at an industry event, and that was really fun. It was also fun to be called up on stage to sing with Alfio. It was also fun to have the Bronx Wanderers mention me from the stage and the fact that I was there, so thank you to the Bronx Wanderers for that. And the reason I bring this up is because not only did I spend time with all these people, but also other people from the music industry. And we talked a lot about music and entertainment and the experience that the audience gets and the experience that the musicians have and the artists and all of that. And I have to say that it was like an immersive experience, as if it went to a music convention or something, because to deal with all these artists, for example, like Backstreet Boys have been around for, I think it was like 20 years or something, and have obviously been very successful. The Bronx Wanderers have been around as about the same time, but nobody knew them, and now they're starting to hit. And then Alfio, of course, is a PBS two-time Emmy nominated artist and so. So and then to talk about other artists that have done some big things and other artists that have recently died, committed suicide, who have also done some big things, and other people who haven't done big things. As you can see, so many ideas in my head about these 3 days that were jam-packed, music from so many different aspects. And all of that kind of comes at a time when here we are going to be talking to musicians, composers that will be on April 2nd, part of the Enlightenment Music Series, which this is brilliant, what the Enlightenment Music Series has done, has put together seven composers of classical music, and they're all live, and they're going to be there, and their music is going to be presented. And so, again, another major immersive experience. I would totally recommend that, because all that to say, I walked away from Vegas like with, as if I had experienced music on a level beyond what normal people get to experience. And that's what I feel is going to happen on April 2nd, because we're talking about music that is right now, composers that are right now. And we're going to be talking to them both on the show today and when I'm master of ceremonies of this event on April 2nd. We're going to be talking about how this music came to be and why, and what is their dream for it and what it does for people. There's so much here. I'm going to stop right there because already I am just filled. Once again, it all came back to me. So when we come back, we're going to have David Reichlin, we're going to have Brian Pizzoni, and we're going to have Marina Manoukian, and we're going to have lots of music, and we're going to have lots of fun. All on the Life Changes Show when we come back right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
And we're back. I'm Filippo sitting here with Mark, and wow, I just threw out a lot of music information.
you did, but you need to help me clarify some information. The Bronx Wanderers, a brand new band that's been around for years.
Well, Vegas didn't know them.
Okay.
You know, the audiences are starting to get to know them. They're major publicity going out, but you know how that is. It's like 10 years for an overnight sensation.
Got it. That's okay. Got it. Just wanted a little clarity there. And I agree with you. I was trying to figure out how can we create a new word. You were talking about work and play together.
Mm.
But plurk doesn't quite work.
Plurk.
And wake is a little confusing. So we'll have to figure out how to coin a new term there.
Yes. Well, and this is work and play
exactly.
Right here.
Exactly.
It takes work to get it here. But and that's the same thing with obviously the music as well. So much like that experience, here we are and here we go all the way to April 2nd with the Enlightenment Music Series and all these wonderful composers. And one of these composers is with us today as our first guest. And the second one is with us as well. And he, of course, is Brian Pezzone. And our first guest is a film and TV and video composer and music producer. And now we're going to do something that we've never done before as a way of introduction of this man. How great it would be and will be to play a fanfare that he wrote. So it introduces him. This fanfare is called Space Command March by David Reichlin. David Reichlin, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Filippo, and thank you, Mark.
I've had some great introductions over the past several years of doing this. I think that's the best one, and you wrote it.
Thank you so much for letting people have a chance to hear my heart and soul, and that brings back the time that piece was first played, which was at Comic-Con in San Diego in front of 2,000 screaming fans.
Oh, fun.
And they really loved it. So
I did have to stand.
Yeah, Mark was standing.
I was almost ready for a screaming as well.
And even before Mark was standing, you were smiling as big as you're smiling now. I know you've heard that piece before, but it does what?
It lifts the spirit, and it reminds me of a hopeful vision of the future, which is the concept that is behind the creation and inspires and drives everyone who works on the project. Space Command is a series of epic adventures set in a hopeful future that we can all be a part of. And this was an attempt to show a science fiction view of the future where people could be better. We have recently been inundated, recently, but now it's stretched on to like 15 years with views of the future, visions that are dystopic, where the world is going to be polluted and mega corporations are going to dominate everyone, and where people will barely be able to survive except for a few people on top, and where technology is oppressive. All of this stuff is possible, but it's much better to show people that it's also possible that technology will liberate us, that technology will allow people to be more than they ever were, to communicate better, to colonize other worlds and have more space, more freedom and adventures, personal and as a community, that were never imagined in previous ages. And that's what we wanted to bring to the screen in Space Command. And I think that we have succeeded in that. And the music is a way to support and to embody that spirit.
Fantastic.
Your way of changing the world. For the better.
Yes, one fanfare at a time.
I love it. Well, you've done obviously a lot more than fanfares, and you've worked with some very interesting people. As a matter of fact, did I get a sense of that there might have been a little bit of a nod there to Oscar winner John Williams in that, who was your mentor?
Yes, I was very fortunate to first meet John back when I was in college, and a wonderful man and a wonderful composer, yes. Although when you're doing space adventures, that's sort of the sound that you go for, if it's optimistic and hopeful. It's that combination of the late romantic heroic impulses performed in a symphony orchestra, and we've updated a little bit with things like synthesizers, but instead of making alien sounds, we're using them to make fantastical and wondrous sounds. So, yes, an update of that idea.
Speaking of fantastical and wondrous, you started composing at the old age of...
Yes, it's true. I was basically born writing music.
So you were one.
Yeah, in fact, my parents described how when I was 18 months old and still in my crib, that I would conduct Beethoven in time. And
while it was playing in the room.
Yeah, while it was playing.
In your diapers.
I don't remember whether I had diapers or not.
I'm trying to get to the detail.
I might have been, you know, en natural, but what counted was that I could count time, even something as, you know, sophisticated as classical symphony was very appealing to me, even when I was... less than 2 years old. And by the time I was four, I was taking music lessons and starting to compose. And I didn't really understand what a composer was because I'd never met one. And I wasn't destined to actually meet a composer until I was much older in college. So I had a sense that this is what I wanted to do with my life. And I played in orchestras. And in fact, you know, we even did a version of Jesus Christ Superstar in high school before that musical was available for performance, because my buddy and I transcribed it. And then we just, you know, gave the parts to our high school friends who thought that it was pretty cool. And, you know, we found this guy who couldn't read music, but, you know, we taught him how to play the guitar part by ear, and he was awesome. So, you know, in a sense, I guess, you know, I had met people who had ambitions to be composers, but I had never met a professional composer. So I had this notion that you had to get a job doing something else.
Oh.
And I wanted to do something that would serve humanity, that would be an honorable profession, that was something that was based in tradition, but was constantly expanding for the future. Because that's one of the things that I love most about the arts, and especially about music, is that, at least for me, good music is always rooted in tradition in the past, and it's also firmly planted in the present at the same time. So it's got that sort of, you know, Janus two ways of looking at the same time aspect to what makes music. And it was interesting with your experience in Las Vegas, how you were looking at two bands, one that was famous and mm-hmm. one that was becoming famous. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the nature of music, that there's always someone who was there before and always someone who's new. Mm. And hopefully, if things work properly, then there's a kind of paying it forward as well as an homage or recognition of the past.
Oh, nice. And not just the happy, you know, because life is all kinds of experiences.
It is.
you have a piece that is called Dark and Mysterious, or it is Dark and Mysterious. We'd like to play that now. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, okay. Well, long story short, I started making movies when I was very young, when I was 9 years old. Mm. And by the time I was a teenager, we were doing things like staging car wrecks and, you know, action stunts.
Little
learned
things.
That, you know, you had to get somebody who had a driver's license, but in order to have them drive the car. But by getting the angle right and by getting an athletic person who knows how to move properly and putting the camera in a position, you know, you could make those things appear to be terribly perilous and scary when actually everybody was having a blast and no one was in any danger.
Nice.
So the storytelling aspect of and the collaborative aspect of filmmaking and video games and live concerts, virtual reality, these are things that I'm very attracted to, of combining all of the arts into something where each one has their own expression, yet serves a higher purpose. And the cue that I think you're going to play, we call cues the piece of music that underscore and enhance the drama
right.
in a movie, television show, or video game. And this is from a film, adventure spy thriller I did a few years back called Dead Drop. And this is the music for the appearance of the villain for the first time.
Okay. And we're calling it Dark and Mysterious, and here it is by David Raiklin. Play that music when anybody enters a room and you're not going to like them, right? I mean, it's just that, you know, so it was, how appropriate.
Yes.
So what comes first? The feeling like it's a villain, so you already go into that mode. Actually, hold that thought, because let's not answer that question. Let's talk about tranquility, since we want to be more in that mood. And that's when we come back, we're going to play, talk more about it, and play a piece that is more tranquil. We can go away from the villain stuff. And we've got lots more music to come, lots more fun.
We can talk about both.
Or we can talk about both, because life has both sometimes. we'll have more fun here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him, then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down, I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said,
I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, David Raiklin, who's, of course, a composer. And what do you thumbs up? Because I said it right? What do you give me a thumbs up? Just happy to be here?
Yes, I'm happy to be here.
Just an enthusiastic thumbs up, just all the way around.
Okay, and a producer. And here he is. I feel like the Muppets. What's his name? Kermit. Kermit the Frog. When he got all excited. So before we get into too much excitement, you have I was asking you originally about the villain. What came first? Like the feeling or the
Okay, when we're telling a story, the thing that comes first is the story, the beginning, the middle, and the end, and all the little bits that tell the story. And one of the biggest and most important bits is the character. So when I'm looking at a movie and deciding what kind of music it should have, I'm pretending that I'm just a person in the audience who's never seen the story before. And so, is this the good guy? Is this the bad guy? Oh, no, maybe that's the good guy. Maybe that's the bad guy. Because you don't want to tip that too much. So by the time we came to that scene that you were so kind to play for the audience, we had been led to believe that it was almost anyone except the guy who it was.
Oh, clever.
So it was important to show that this person was really creepy and deceptive because he'd fooled everybody that he was one of the good guys.
Oh. Hmm. So that music didn't come in when he first entered the room, kind of thing. It came in.
That was like part of the reveal.
Oh, right. It's like, nice.
We had seen this person before. We just had no idea that he was the villain. And now suddenly everything has changed and we realize, it was him all along. So that's how that music came about, that I had to show that this was coming from left field and that this guy you weren't expecting had all of these latent qualities. So there's little bits of the music that called back to how we had portrayed him earlier in the film.
Only this time.
Dark and twisted.
Ah, nice. And, you know, people might not analyze. However, the unconscious catches it.
Oh, yes. In fact, that's how we receive movies, is on the unconscious level. Movies are not books or plays. They're immersive experiences that we understand on an intuitive level. And that's why little kids will watch a TV show or a movie in rapt wonder, even though they don't quite understand what the dialogue means, or they miss the adult jokes, etc. They are understanding the text, the soul of the movie. And that's what we try and convey, is something that works without our having to think about it, unless it's a mystery to think about it.
I was going to say, just like I'm waiting for the monster still to come out from under the couch since we played there.
Because of the piece?
Okay, we'll clear the palace.
We'll play something else. Well, but this is the good news and the bad news, actually, right? Because people that maybe watch scary movies all the time have that scary music and that scary thought in their head, for example, and maybe they're out in the world looking for what's behind, you know, under the couch.
What's lurking, right?
Yeah, what's lurking.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that I've worked on every kind of film that you can imagine, from documentaries about saints to slasher films, and from live theater to animation. One of the things I've learned is that the people who are fans of horror movies are at least for the most part, very calm, well-adjusted people who don't take them seriously. It's very hard for them to get scared. So they find that those horrible, scary scenes that we think are so terrifying, they find them to be amusing because they're not easily frightened. So for them,
interesting.
You know, it's like when you go to the amusement park and there's, you know, the giant thrill ride that you drop from the sky at high speeds. You won't get me on that, but you see lots of people who go on that for fun. They think it's fun to be dropped from a height at high speeds.
And you can write the music to make that even more scary.
Exactly, or more fun, or comical, and you know, we can what's called play with the scene, where you're reinforcing what's there. You can play against the scene, where you can make it lighter and happier.
Interesting. Yeah, listen where his mind goes and how he expands the moment. Like, what kind of moment do you want? And that back to life. That there are experiences that we have that could seem really dramatic, but if everybody around us was like the music that is like calm and all that, the person would calm down.
Yes, you said it perfectly. What kind of moment do you want? And if you center and focus on the kind of life, the kind of person that you want to be, then you'll carry that into different situations.
Like, say for right now, if I wanted some tranquil, not the thing that you take that's green. I'm sorry, something tranquil. Not a tranquilizer either. You know where I'm getting at. There's a piece we have.
Yes, and it's called Tranquil. I know it's kind of on the nose, as they say, very very much what you see is what you get. This is a composition for symphony orchestra that is a meditative piece where we're using the lush, luminous sheets of sound that are possible in an orchestra and using that to hopefully create a state of higher awareness in our tranquility. So we're not only calm, but we're aware of the beauty of the world on the level that's possible when you have 80 of the world's finest musicians all playing together for you.
Nice. What a feeling that must be. And we're going to get to at least experience the music. Here is Tranquil by David Raiklin. Wonderful. Wow. Tranquil by David Raiklin. Now, if you want to learn more about David Raiklin, you can go to his website, davidraiklin.com. I'll spell that. David, and Raiklin is RAIKLEN.com. So davidraiklin.com. You can also find him on Facebook at facebook.com/David.Raiklin. And he posts all kinds of things there. And we're gonna end this segment with something a little bit fun and quirky. And then when we come back, we'll talk about what's going to be presented at the Enlightenment Music Series concert on April 2nd. One of David's pieces. We'll talk for a minute about that before we move on to Brian Pizzone and Marina Manoukian. So we're going to play something quirky now by David Raiklin. You want to share share a little bit about that?
Yes, this was from a movie where this guy was growing older, but not necessarily wiser.
Uh-huh.
And he was kind of a wild and crazy teenager, and he was still a wild and crazy adult. So I thought that the music could kind of convey that childlike quality and something that was out of the ordinary and didn't quite fit. So what I did was I took a bunch of different instruments from all around the world that normally would never play together, and I had them play together.
Oh, interesting. And here we'll get to hear an excerpt of that. Here's Quirky by David Raiklin. You made it work for sure. How fun is that? So David Raiklin, you can go to davidraiklin.com and hear more of his music that we didn't have the time to play, and then learn more about where else he's going to be. But we know he's going to be in Pasadena on April 2nd. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back, along with having Brian Pezzone and Marina Manoukian join us here in the studio in just a minute here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. That's been so much fun. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, David Raiklin. Now, I've been mentioning the Enlightenment Music Series. So this is an amazing thing, because normally we get to hear chamber orchestra musicians play composers that have been long since passed or even just passed. But these are all going to be alive musicians. And so David Raiklin is one of them, and Brian Pezzone is one of them as well. And they're both going to be there at the Enlightenment Music Series. It's going to be in Pasadena. If you go to ENL, like E as in Enlightenment Music Series, E-N like Nancy L, musicseries.org, E-N-L musicseries.org, and find out about the April 2nd concert, which is 21st Century Composers. Now, David is going to have one of his pieces presented there. It's called Lights in the Forest. So tell us what we have to look forward to there.
Thank you so much for asking about Lights in the Forest. This is a experimental fusion of pop, rock, jazz, chamber music, and world music into one event that is, by its nature, an adventure each time that it's played.
Oh.
So the story that we have in mind, that's kind of the setting where everything starts from, is imagine that we're all in a clearing by a wonderful forest. And some of the members of our party are carrying musical instruments, and they break out and start to play. And the notes that they produce have a magical transformative quality, and suddenly we're in the forest. And by their playing the music, we begin to learn the secrets of this forest. And there are many adventures to be had, more than can be experienced in any one concert. The music is of changing character in each movement and has many different facets, like a gem. And it'll never be the same twice because there's an element of improvisation that's incorporated into it. And we have created a virtual reality experience where the audience actually gets to be in the one place that you can never be, in the middle of the band while they're playing live. And we're going to do more of that as well. But you can see the band for real live on April 2nd at 301 Orange Grove Boulevard.
Okay.
Where there actually is a wooded setting there.
Ah, nice. Yes, it's just there is. You're right. Actually, I look forward to that. Well, there's something that an 18th century, 19th century, even a 20th century composer could never have done. So there it is. Thank you for taking the elements of our 21st century and taking them beyond what many of us have envisioned. So thank you, David Reichland. I look forward to that. Look forward to seeing you again.
Hey, thank you so much, Filippo. Thank you so much, Mark, Dorothy, and of course the great and world-class artists that you're about to hear.
Yes, and actually, well, you mentioned Dorothy, so before we move on, we have the Ask Dorothy segment, which so many people always wait to hear the great answers that come.
We're going to come to Dorothy in just a second, but we had a few shout-outs that I wanted to make sure we got out to our audience. I wanted to congratulate our friends at happyacts.org for a fantastic event this year. They're the ones behind the Live Happy movement. They had over 110 cities involved this week with happy walls and music and kids participating and affirming a happy and healthy lifestyle. Go to happyacts.org and check them out. And another, speaking of happiness, let go of negative self-talk, the silent killer of happiness. Go to healthroughwords.com. healthroughwords.com. And our Ask Dorothy segment of Dorothy. Veronica from Orange County asks, "Hey, Dorothy, I have a super close friend who wants to take our relationship to another level, but I don't feel it's worth risking a friendship. What is your advice?"
Feeling that the next level of your relationship would risk the friendship that you have, I believe your next step is an honest and open discussion with your friend. Obviously, you're not on the same page. The most important thing for you to discern is what you fear you would be risking if you say no to the next level. It is important and necessary for you to define your boundaries in this friendship and in all friendships. If your friend is truly your friend, then complete honesty will set you free from any fears. However, before you can be honest with your friend, you must be honest with yourself. So you might want to take some time to examine how you really feel about this friendship so you can respond with love and kindness.
Thank you, Dorothy. I'm laughing because everybody in the room was nodding their heads. Like, yep, yep. Great question, great answer. Thank you, Dorothy. Well, when we come back, we're going to have more talking with our guest, Brian Pizzone, and music with both Brian Pizzone and Marina Manoukian, all on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back. I am Filippo, sitting here with, more music, of course, with Mark and with David Raiklin. And joining us in the studio is Brian Pizzoni and Marina Manoukian, and the crowd goes, "Arr!" Now, Brian is a lot of things. He is a consummate crossover pianist of his generation, also the 21st century, by the way. He has excelled in classical, contemporary, jazz, experimental genres, and is known for his versatility and virtuosity as a performing artist, improviser, and composer, and we're going to get to hear most of that here on the show today. Brian, welcome to the show, and pleasure to have you here.
It's wonderful to be here, Filippo. It's wonderful. Thank you for having me.
It's very nice.
It's always very nice.
I've been enjoying, you've been on this kick lately where you go live on Facebook, and you just present like one improvisation after the other, and then I mean, what's that about for you right now?
Oh, it is a whole change. I just got really tired of writing words on Facebook, and I got tired of opening up my wall to debate of any kind. And I decided that during these times that I was especially called to be my best self. So I made a decision, a very conscious decision, to say, I want to just put out great energy, positive energy, in terms of what I do musically and in terms of how I actually am with the people that are present with me. And I said, what better way to do that than just to sit down and talk and play some songs, and simply play songs that I love.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a simple concept, yeah. And yet that's huge. People can go and experience that, facebook.com/Brian.Pizzone. And Brian is BRYAN.PEZZONE. Of course, you can go to BrianPizzone.net. And he's also got a YouTube channel, Brian Pizzone, as well. So last time you were here, we talked about having you back so that we could present your music. So in order to present one of your pieces, another one that I love, we have Marina Manoukian joining us, who's, of course, also internationally renowned violinist, and she's the founder of the Enlightenment Music Series we've been talking about. Welcome, Marina, to the show.
Thank you, Filippo. It's always a pleasure being on your show.
It's always a pleasure having you here and anywhere else we get to meet.
Thank you. Likewise.
So, Brian, how about you? You were the ripe old age of how old when you started to delve into the music?
I was about 9 months old.
Oh, he beat you, David. Yeah, I knew that.
My uncle would walk me down to my great grandma's house, and she had a piano. And so I played on the piano, and my great grandma taught him how to make pasta. He was 6. I was 2.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's the true story.
So you got pasta and music.
Oh, I just played in the little room, and I just improvised all the time. And I didn't bang, and I just looked at the keyboard, and I went, well, this sounds good. This sounds a little eerie. This sounds cool. Oh, here's this song. It's like, it was my special place.
Do you mind take, you know, because I saw you live once.
Yeah.
Or recently, rather, where you did that. You took us to when you were this age and that age, and this is how you would probably play it then or whatever. I'm watching you, and your fingers did something. Could you actually do what you were doing?
And I have that image in my mind as if it were
yes.
a minute ago. So I would just sit there like this. That's how I played
wow.
when I was a little baby.
Wow.
I never banged on it.
Wow.
It was like, oh, they're low notes, they're high notes. Ooh, there's black notes, white notes. You play louder and softer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, in your improvising, I've heard you do some not just banging now, but you're also pluck strings and you hit the side of the piano and you're like the piano is this like this whole thing.
Yeah, well, that's part of the instrument. And it is the instrument.
Excuse me. I never thought of it that yeah. way. It is.
Well, you know, and a lot of that comes from avant-garde techniques. You know, it started way early in the 20th century by a man named Henry Cow. He had a big influence on Charles Ives and others, and he started to do actual written works for strumming inside the piano and strumming the piano strings. And I have no doubt at all that before we have any recorded music, that even back, you know, in Mozart's day and in Bach's, they were messing around with the piano. They were in harpsichord. They were plucking strings. They were doing all these things. I have no doubt. I mean, you have people are curious, and so they're gonna explore.
And well, so, good for them.
Yeah, yeah.
and thank you for exploring for us, those of us who never thought about banging on the piano on the side of it and plucking the strings. So you have obviously many styles that you have mastered over the years. Is there any style in particular that speaks to you more?
You know, I was asked this question recently, and there really is no style that speaks to me more, but I will simply say that as time has gone on, I have grown fond of the song, just simply playing songs. I mean, I love Schubert, I love the avant-garde, I love jazz, I love sophisticated jazz, smooth jazz, I love blues, I love Clapton, I love Stevie Wonder, I love Buxtehude, you know, I love, you know, Guillaume Michaud, but my favorite music to play is a melody that's deep inside of me that I may have played for 40 years, and just to keep expressing it like a voice. Yeah,
that's another thing that you did live that I was really taken by, how you took a simple melody and then you played it in different styles with different expressions and all of that, and I felt like it spoke differently to different people in the room, and I thought that was brilliant.
Thank you.
So. Well, wonderful. So people can see some of that on Facebook. They can see it on YouTube. Again, Brian Pizzone. And on April 2nd, the Enlightenment Music Series concert will feature one of your pieces, which I have seen on the internet, but I've never seen live, so I can't wait. Oh, actually, we get to hear it here.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
It's called
The Lament.
The Lament, and it features. I've heard it with the flute, but it's going to feature a violin.
Yes.
And Brian, where did this piece come from, or what does it mean to you?
Well, there was a period, a few years back, where I was writing a lot of tunes, and they were inspired by various things. I was driving home one day on the freeway, and it just happened to be one of those days where I was thinking about the human condition again. And I was actually, I need to subtitle this piece, because I was actually thinking about how little puppies are and dogs are if you put them in a dog park together, and how they go up and sniff each other's noses, you know, without all these formalities. And I was going, why can't people be like that? And so basically it was my lamenting over the natural and oftentimes necessary fear responses that we have in our way of socializing, that we had to be afraid of one another. And so it was a lament for that part of the human condition.
Mm.
And I was inspired to write a tune based on that.
Wow. Well, it sounds to me like Brian's way of making us look at ourselves and changing the world a little bit at a time, Brian's way. And here is The Lament, composed by Brian Pizzone, played by Brian Pizzone and Marina Manoukian on the violin, live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
I would like to add a few words. We have recorded with Brian this beautiful song, the beautiful melody, on a CD together. It's called Inspiration, and a few years back. And it's actually an improvisation. And so every time we perform it, we play it differently.
Nice.
And it depending on the atmosphere and mood and character and everything. And so... And we will try to improvise it in the studio today.
So you'll hear it one way now, and then if you come live, you'll hear it another way. Either way, I'm sure it'll be very beautiful.
It's a gorgeous melody, and it's always a pleasure playing with Brian.
Thank you for playing, Marina.
And his amazing artistry and musicianship, and also David Racklin's. I'm delighted to be working with them, and... We are dear colleagues and look forward to April 2nd concert presenting their beautiful music. And here it is, The Lament.
Thank you.
The Lament by Brian Pizzone, performed by Brian Pizzone and Marina Manoukian on the violin. Wow! Yes, they. Yes, I agree. I blow you a kiss, too. Kisses to all of you. Amazing to both of you. Just amazing. And, of course, brianpizzone.net, Brian, BrianPezzone.net. And then on Facebook, facebook.com/Brian.Pizzone. And on YouTube, Brian Pizzone has his own channel. And then, of course, Enlightenment Music Series for Marina Manoukian. And well, on the website, you can get the CDs, right?
No. But they are available on through Amazon and CD Baby.
Oh, okay.
Other major outlets.
You know what? Send us links for those so we can post them on your pages. Okay. Name the CDs again.
Inspiration. And we also recorded with Brian the compilation of Brahms sonatas and sonatensatz.
Wonderful. Yes, indeed. And so I also should mention that we couldn't have them all on the show, but we want to give a nod out to other composers that are going to be at the April 2nd concert, along with David Raiklin and Brian Pizzone. There's going to be George Giannopoulos.
Yes.
And Blair Whittington. Mark Gasbarro, who we've had on the show as well. Roberto Garza Gomez.
Yes.
And Jeremy
Gillen.
Okay.
Yes, they are all wonderful composers. Each one has their own unique character of writing and unique style, and we will be performing their works, and hope you can join us and enjoy their music.
Thank you. And again, enlmusicseries.org. And Brian, because I'm such a big fan of your improvising, you knew I was going to ask you to do this. Just a couple of minutes, or you don't have to go too long, but something just because. Because you're here and it's so good.
And because he's great.
It's so great, yes. Yeah, so,
anytime. And
so here is Brian Pizzone live at Studio NoHo on the Life Changers show doing what Brian Pizzone does.
Yes. And I'm going to stay with the theme of positivity, and I'm going to do what I call a little reveal.
Ooh.
So I got a tune in mind, but I'm not going to start with it.
Okay.
But you'll hear it.
Brian Pizzone. Hey. It worked. When we all got it, we all started to laugh. We were enjoying it, and then, thank you so much. That's very special.
That was
special.
Really enjoyable.
That is so special.
Thank you for asking me.
And look at that. We got to hear Brian improvising like he would when he was one or however old he was, and then Brian improvising now that he's 24.
Improvisation in a Life Changes fashion, my parents, that was their staple song to always sing.
Beautiful.
Heartwarming all the way around, and how special. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Brian Benzone. I'm back
thank
to the Muppet.
Yay! Thank you,
and thank you, Marina Manoukian. Yay! And thank you, David Reichlin.
Thank you, David.
Very special.
You're
thank
all
you.
Welcome.
And thank you to Brent Hahn, our technical director, for making us all sound so good.
Thank you, Brent.
And a big thank you to Doug and Don Newsom, our program managers at BBS Radio. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, our producer, Mark Leger, and myself, your host, Filippo Voltaggio. Wow, I don't want it to end. If your life changed like mine did tonight, when yours does, as yours does, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone. Oh, man, that was so good.
You have been listening to the Life Changes
so
Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.